This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Oh, I know, Chris, it flew by for me too. I still have, I feel like I have a lot of really brilliant thoughts, honestly. What, Chris? I think the Oracle, that's me. I feel like I have many, many witty thoughts tonight, and I don't know if I'm going to have time to get to all those thoughts. But before we get to the gay movie bombing at the box office and Fauci's net worth, I need a ruling. 877-377-4373. I'll take a ruling from you too, Chris. I can't figure out if what I did was wrong, what I did was right, or what I did was wrong but justified. So allow me to set it up. This happened yesterday. All right, it was yesterday. My son, one of my sons, we got him some private coaching for sport he's getting ready to begin. I'm not going to bother going into the details right now, but we got him some private coaching for a sport he's about to begin just because he's such a beginner at it, and we found this guy cheap from one of the local clubs. And he's a professional, Chris, but either way, he's coming over to the house four or five times, give my son some kind of a basic knowledge of it that I can't give him. So, comes over on Sunday. Now, let me set this up. My in-laws are in town. I decided to treat them to the world famous Jesse Kelly cheeseburgers, and I have my grill out back where people grill. I know that's really normal, but we grill outside in the Kelly household. We're pretty fancy like that, but I have my grill out back. You know, yes, I had cooked the burgers in a frying pan. Don't worry, your burgers don't go on a grill top, but either way, the frying pan on the grill. Anyway, I prepped the burgers, and my son's back there being coached. Now, we obviously supervise every single minute of these coaching sessions. Not just to observe the coach, but to observe my boy. Make sure he's focused, working hard. Get out there. Keep your head down, your mouth shut. Get the job done. That's it. Normal. They get wrapped up. All done. It was an hour long. And I'm back there with my in-laws and then my son and then the coach. Coach is done. Okay, he's done. All right, we're paying him for an hour. He's done. I throw on a burger for one of the in-laws because you know you only make the world famous Jesse Kelly burger one at a time. I've got them all prepped sitting beside me, throwing a burger. That's the sound my burgers make, Chris. Cooking up a burger. Hand a burger to one of the in-laws. Cook up another burger. Hand it to my oldest son. Then he's still standing there with the session over, and he's talking to my in-laws. Now, this is where I screwed up, okay? I'm going to have to own this. This part's on me, no question about it. I chose to be polite. And you should never be polite. There's just nothing. Listen, there's nothing in the world that burns you more than being polite. That's why I try to just stay rude. Life is so much easier. But he's standing there. I mean, he's doing coaching on the side, which probably sucks. So he's probably not exactly made of money. I say to him, do you want a burger? Now, If anyone did that to me, offered me a burger when I was doing a coaching session, I would say no. I'd feel like that's an intrusion, but maybe I'm hungry. Maybe I don't have, maybe I'm on hard times. Maybe I need money. So I say, so let's assume that's the situation. He says, yeah, I'd love one. Okay, no problem. Throw on his burger. Throw the burger on. Pull the burger off. Hand him the cheeseburger. Does he take the burger and quickly wolf it down? No, he does not. Instead, he takes the burger, walks over to the little table we have on the back porch, sets the plate down, takes a seat, uninvited, takes a seat, sits down, and not only does he not wolf the burger down, he takes a bite every 5 minutes. And don't think for a second I'm exaggerating. I was mortified watching him just disrespect the Jesse Kelly burger like this. He would pick up the burger and take a bite and he would set it down. And then he would just simply sit there and talk to my in-laws. And they're such nice people. They're sitting there talking to him. And I'm sitting there grilling everyone else's burger, right? Because I'm making them one at a time. And I'm looking at my watch and I'm thinking, okay, are you going to leave? And soon it's 20 minutes after practice is over. And then it's 30 minutes after practice is over. And soon I've made everyone's burger but mine. My burger goes in last. And now I'm annoyed. Now it's 45 minutes after practice is over. The burger is still not finished, and he's still sitting on my back porch. And now I'd just gotten back from New York City, as you know. So already my people meter was empty. It was redlining. I'm redlining here. The gas light was on the people meter. And I decided, you know what? This is as polite as I can possibly get. So I made my burger, and then I promptly put my burger on the plate out there, and I walked in the house. And I walked in the house and set my stuff aside and decided I'm eating my burger inside. I'm done with the whole thing. Clearly, he got the hint at that point in time, and he got up and came in the house and then started commenting on the kids' Lego sets and things like that. And by now I'm upset. So now I know you're going to find this shocking. I can get rude. So now I'm not answering any questions anymore. Now I'm sitting there and I chose to be that person. I got on my phone and set my phone by me while I ate my burger, just blatantly ignoring the guy. And finally he turned around and walked out the door. Now, I suspect the answers will be different depending on regions of the country. If you're listening to me right now in New York or New Jersey, Philadelphia, you probably think I did right. I would be willing to bet I'm going to get scolded by some sweet little old lady in the South, though, for doing wrong. I don't know. I can't decide if I did right or I did wrong. 877-377-4373. I don't know. Chris, what do you think? See, that's what I said. When I was accused of being rude, I said, no, that was nice. You don't understand. That was me being nice. Rude could have been much worse. But you know what? Lesson learned. No more burgers for guests. What, Chris? Oh, that's actually brilliant. Why didn't I do that? Chris said I should have told him, here's one for the road. But here's the thing. I didn't think to tell him, here's one for the road. Because if I did accept a burger at someone's house, I would take it for the road. Or if I ate it there with them, and I've had to do this before. I used to, you know, in my various jobs, I've told you about this before. I used to do documentaries. I worked for my buddy who did documentaries where I would go out to people's homes and sit down and interview them all day long. And I did one of these for a couple from Louisiana one time. Now, maybe you know people in Louisiana. Maybe you're from Louisiana. But in case you don't, allow me to clue you in on something. Louisiana people, they eat and they party. And it's a lifestyle. And I mean, it's what they do. Everybody of mine I've ever known from Louisiana is this way. So I finish spending 5 hours with these people. All day I've been with them interviewing them. And I'm getting up and I'm ready to leave. No. This sweet lady, I think they were in their 50s, 60s. She's like, oh, no. I prepared food. When I say prepared food, I don't mean they had a taco ready for the road. It was like a 7-course meal with king cake for dessert. And even then, I wasn't rude, but I sat down. And of course, they insisted on giving me a glass of scotch, which I had to accept, Chris. I didn't want to be rude. But I sat down, I devoured the meal quickly, but not rudely, and then got up and promptly excused myself because I'm in someone else's home. Who just sits down and posts up for an hour to eat a cheeseburger on a Sunday afternoon? Sorry, I got upset. 877-377-4373. What, Chris? Does he know I do a radio show? You know what? Yes, now he does. And I hope he is listening. All right? I hope he is listening because I'm hoping. And you know how he knows I'm doing a radio show? Because I just talked to him for an hour. I know everything about the guy. I can tell you guys where his birthmark is at this point in time, practically. I know what his parents do. I know what his siblings do. You're daggone right he knows what I do. And I was trying to be coy about that because I don't like to let people know in case they're flaming libs. I don't like to start any political arguments, so I'm always give people the answer, I'm in media. And I need to find a better answer because automatically that intrigues them. They're thinking to themselves, wait a minute. Are you like a cameraman or something? Like they don't understand. It's such a vague answer. I'm in media that all it does is pique their curiosity. So I need something better. But I hope he is listening, Chris. You know what? I'm providing a service right now. I'm providing a service on people. 877-377-4373. Oh, by the way, so I got this email too. Dear Jesse, I'm interested in the trip. He's talking about the Israel trip in 2023, and it looks fantastic. But my wife says I'll hate the trip. Why? My wife, I don't want to give her out her name. My wife is a devout Catholic and attends Mass every day. I'm the one who attends Mass Easter and Christmas. He says, she says it's a Christian trip to the Holy Lands that will involve a daily Mass every day of the trip. This works for her, but I'm not interested in doing that. He said, I'd rather sightsee and eat and drink all the local offerings I can. Is my wife right? I'm not going to spend that kind of money to be stuck going to Mass and doing rosaries. I am not a Catholic. I have no problem with my Catholic brothers and sisters. I am not a Catholic. We will not be doing Mass once. Now, obviously, we're going to the Holy Land. There's obviously going to be discussions about all that. And no doubt we're going to pray because we're not heathens like Chris. But we are going, and no, there won't be any Mass at all. If you want to come to Israel with us next summer, you can. Go to ChristianExpedition.com/Jesse. It's next July, all right? That's where you sign up. Do remember, though, they're limited. Limited. ChristianExpedition.com/Jesse. Or call 877-234-3002. The country is only so big, there's nothing I can do about that. All right. Now, I will get to these calls. Am I a bad person in the gay movie flop? Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Everyone's going to think I'm rude. I'm not a rude person. All right. I just bared my soul to you. Before we make fun of the movie that flopped and all that and get to the emails, I want to know, do you think I'm rude? Was what I did rude? Remember, though, no small talk here. None. Get right to the point. Was it rude? Mitch in Georgia.
No, I'm not no old lady from the South. There's one thing that always works. I cook every weekend, all the time. You sit there, when they want you to hold their hand and walk them to the car, just tell them, yeah, I'll get you some yonder. And they'll leave directly.
Like he's a horse. Yeah! Jared in Virginia, go.
Hey, Jesse. I think you did the right thing giving him the burger, but as soon as you gave it to him, you should have said, thanks for coming. We'll see you again.
Yeah, man, you know, I guess I do have to accept some responsibility. The problem was assuming. You know what they say about people who assume? I assumed, because if you gave me a burger, I mean, I wouldn't even eat it there. I'd eat it in my car. I'd be so, you know, hey, I just want to get out of your hair. I would eat and go, but it's Joe in Florida.
You were not rude. He disrespected you in your home, and he didn't even say thank you. And I would not let him in anymore. And yes, I survived the hurricane well.
My man. How'd you survive? I know you're homeless down there. How'd you survive?
The local high school had a shelter.
Good man.
I went to a hotel for 2 days afterwards.
Good man. Good man. I'm glad to hear it. Barry in Pennsylvania, go.
Jesse, I think what you should have done was just kept the family inside till the dude was done. Just let him have his space. You guys stared him down. You put him on a spot. He had nowhere to go.
I wanted to listen to what he was saying, and I wanted to make sure my kid was working hard. You're probably right. Dang it. Gosh, that's probably the right call. Grady in San Diego, go.
Yeah, hey, Jesse, you know what? You did the right thing, man. I would have done it a little bit differently. One of my buddies was over at my house, and I was kind of wanting to get in the sheets with the, you know, the old lady. And I had to kick him out. I straight up told him, hey, man, you got to go.
You know, that's the thing, though. You can do that with your boys. Like, I could do that with any one of my boys. And if they had any problem with it, I'd tell them why. You got to go. I got some things I got to take care of real quick. Kelly, Colorado, go.
I think you should have been rude and not offered it to him, because now he probably felt obligated to stick around and eat the burger, because if he would have left too soon, then he would have thought that you were thinking he was being rude.
Oh, I didn't. Of course, that's why you need a woman to call in. I didn't even think about it from that perspective. That's a great point. I know he stayed an hour, Chris, but Kelly's right. See, this is why we barbarians, we really do genuinely need women. I didn't even think about it from that point of view. Of course, he wouldn't eat and run. See, I would eat and run and not... I wouldn't think about it twice. This is why the wife tells me that the reason I do so many rude things and say so many rude things is because I don't care what anybody thinks about me. And she said, shame, having shame is an essential part of being polite. And if you lack that, if you never worry about how you're perceived by someone else, it can come across as rude. See, I again would have taken the burger. I would have thought I was being polite. But I just would have left. And if you didn't like it, up yours. Matt in Idaho, go.
Yeah, I don't think you're rude. I invited himself to there. He should have just ate his burger, thanked you, and then left. It, not even spent no more time there than a burger. I totally agree with how you approached it. You're good.
My man. What, Chris? Quit asking questions, Chris, because it's making me look worse and worse every time you ask questions. No, I didn't wrap the burger, okay? I handed him the burger on a plate. That doesn't mean anything. Oh, I should have gave him a paper plate. I don't think we have any of those, though. Last time we looked, those things were expensive. All right, did you see the new gay movie flopped? There's a movie out called Bros. I think Chris is in it. No, I'm kidding. There's a movie out called Bros. And, of course, no one went to see it. Nobody went to see it. It's just a couple of gay dudes doing gay stuff. They're not even in the Air Force, but just a couple of gay dudes doing gay stuff. And it bombed. And that bombed is putting it mildly. Nobody went to go see it. And one of the guys who acted in it, Billy something, Eichner, I don't know how to say his name. He's the director of it. I think he acted in it too, Chris. Oh, he's both. Well, whatever. Anyway, he blasted people for not going to see it. And this is my only thought on it. One, I find that inspiring that they keep pushing these horrible themes out there and people aren't buying it. But two, I can only speak for myself personally. I'm not speaking for you, but personally, I find my tolerance for that stuff to be inversely correlated to how much it's pushed on me. I find I'm much, much, much significantly less tolerant now than I was even 2 or 3 years ago. If you want to come in my face with that crap all the time, always in my face with it, over and over and over again, and then you put out all this filth on children's channels all the time. It's on Nick Jr. Nick Jr. They're doing trans and drag ads. It is lowering my tolerance level very, very, very quickly. So I'm happy this stuff bombed. Because now, you know what? You know why? Because it doesn't seem like you want acceptance anymore. Now it seems like you want to smash the people who don't agree with you. That's really what it seems like. And I can't help but feel like you have bad intentions towards me. And people like me, and people who think like me. Well, guess what? I'm not a nice person, and I'm not a good person. If you have bad intentions towards me, I have bad intentions towards you. That's how that works. All right. Talk about Fauci's net worth. Get to some emails. Army recruiting's a disaster. That and more coming up. Now, speaking of bad intentions, I know you see the crime numbers in the country. It's bad. I've told you before, I have a weapon on me at all times. Unless I have gone through a metal detector, unless you run into me in the airport, I have a weapon on me at all times. But it's not enough to have a weapon on you. You know, people have gotten in gunfights in elevators and missed every shot. You don't realize what it's like in a gunfight. Your adrenaline's pumping. You can't think. You can't. Your training is all that matters. All that matters. Mantis X. It attaches to your weapon and you practice in the comfort of your home. Dry fire practice in your home. Not just target practice. They will put you through drills. They will put you through drills. Army, Marine Corps, Green Berets, they all use Mantis X. Go to MantisX.com and get one today. Great gift, by the way. MantisX.com.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I hope you were good enough to play air drums when we just came into that song. I personally did, both pens in hand in the studio, air drumming out. Remember, you can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Real quick, Kimberly, go.
Yes, you are mean, Jesse Kelly, but it is so necessary. And you should wear a shirt when you're out and about saying, are you with me or are you against me? Because you need people around you that will inspire you. You need support that way. And that's going to be excluding people. So there you go.
I had a thought on this. I'll get to that in a second. Chad in Colorado, go.
Jesse, you know, you wouldn't have that kind of problem if you didn't have a coach teaching ice dancing or soccer to your kids.
You know, that's not right, Chad. That's not right at all. I had a thought, speaking of what Kimberly just said about wearing a shirt, masks. You remember the mask insanity, right? Depending on where you're hearing the sound of my voice right now, maybe it's still going on, but I'll tell you, everyone talks about, you know, how liberal New York City is. I was just there over the weekend. 95% of the people, no masks. They're still there, but no masks. So I'm assuming most of the mask insanity is gone. And I don't miss being forced to wear one of those stupid, useless things on your face, especially when you travel. But I do miss one part of it, and I really do genuinely miss it. My kid, I'll get to the Fauci stuff in a second. My kid was playing hoops during the height of all that COVID insanity. And obviously, basketball is played indoors for the most part. So we would show up at this gym where he had to go play his basketball games. And I'll never forget, the gym wasn't quite open yet. It wasn't quite game time yet. And the gym, they hadn't showed up to unlock the gym. So all the parents had gathered outside of the gym. And I walk up with my kid. I'm obviously not in a mask. He's not in a mask. And I look at this sea of 90% of the parents and their kids had those stupid things on their faces. And I make eye contact with one dude and his son, no mask, sitting there. Baseball hat on, t-shirt, no mask. His kid didn't have a mask on. And we both made eye contact and gave the subtle head nod to each other. You knew. It was a great way to tell who was your people and who wasn't your people. I miss those markers. Don't you remember the people driving around in cars by themselves with masks on their faces? I kind of miss it. It was like, it's not that you want to force people to wear things at all, but it would be nice if the communists all identified themselves. And for a 2-year period, they did. They told you, I'm an insane person who believes what the media tells me. They told you that over and over and over and over again. And it was handy, man. It was really handy. Speaking of which, Fauci's net worth soared to $12.6 million during the pandemic. That's a $5 million increase. Now, I'm going to set aside the normal outrage that I would feel about that and the outrage you're probably feeling about that. And I'm going to give you some good news. You want to hear the good part of that? There's something good about that. You know how we call for a reckoning often to the people, the politicians, the public health officials, the big pharma people, FDA, CDC. We call for a reckoning for the people who ended lives with insane COVID stuff. I call for a reckoning often. But I'm not naive. I understand the low-T GOP. They frankly went along with most of it in the beginning and pushed most of it in the beginning. So the low-T GOP is never going to do what should be done. I mean, Dr. Fauci should spend the rest of his life in prison. He should. With what he did, he should spend the rest of his life in prison. The CDC, you're insisting on children getting the shot. You're insisting on kids masking up. No regard for suicide. These people should be in prison. But okay, I'm not naive, though. I know that reckoning isn't going to come. And I know the people who did this to us, the individuals who did it, I know they all got rich, more powerful, and they're going to sail off into the sunset up in the Hamptons or something like that, and they're going to live the rest of their lives living very comfortably. I know that. I'm not dumb. I know that. You know that. But I did take heart in this when I thought about it. We have terrible people leading our institutions now. You know. Awful people lead all of our institutions. But every single form of government, every single one, no matter what, that has ever existed, including ours, they only exist for an extended period of time with the consent of the governed. Now, I know there have been kings and tyrants, and there have been horrible 50, 100-year periods in history where these people were oppressed. I know that's short-term thinking. Long-term, though, once people have lost trust in their cultural institutions, the institutions will never do things to try to get that trust back. Instead, they'll do exactly what you're seeing now. They'll try to punish and censor and shame you into it. But those institutions really only have the power they have for an extended period of time if you trust them. 5 years ago, if the CDC put out a memo about something, you would listen. I'm as small government, as limited government as there is. I want government. I don't think the Constitution went far enough. That's how small I want the government to be. 5 years ago, if the CDC gave out some guidance that sounded reasonable about a disease, I would listen. I would go home and discuss it with the wife. I would listen, of course. Now, what do you do when you hear the CDC say something? What do you do? Everyone does it. I know you do it. I do it. Oh, gosh, here we go again. That's what you do. Same FBI, same thing, FBI. This is a huge deal. five, 10 years ago. I realize the FBI's been doing shady, horrible things for a very long time. I get that. But 90% of Americans, 5 years ago, if they heard FBI, well, maybe not 5 years ago because they were still busy screwing Trump over then. Let's say 10 years ago, if they heard the words FBI, they'd say, oh, yeah, good. The top dogs, head law enforcement. Wow, the elite of the elite. Now, maybe half the country, probably less, thinks that. When people hear FBI now, you know what they think? Oh, gosh, here we go. That's what they think. That's what they think. And yes, in the short term, they're never going to be punished. The individuals who did it aren't going to be punished. In the long term, though, they're giving up the one thing they need to maintain long-term power. In the end, they're giving up your trust. There is a contract that exists. Look, in the not-too-distant future, in fact, right now, we've had this discussion on the show before. Knock on your door tonight. Some guy at the FBI says he's not there for you. There was a bank robbery in the area. Wants to know if you've seen anything. You telling him anything? I'm not telling you to lie, obviously. I would never. I'm not saying that, but be honest with yourself. Be honest with me. Do you even believe him if he says he's not there for you? I wouldn't. I don't care what you asked me. Hey, I'm not here for you. We're investigating someone in Zimbabwe. Okay, yeah, that's fine. You can still call my lawyer. I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to him. I'm not helping. I assume you're there to frame me for something, to destroy my life because you consider me to be a political opponent of the president. So that's my natural assumption. Now, who's that a loss for? In the short term, it might be me. They toss me in the clink. In the long term, that's a loss for them. What happens when that blue jacket with the yellow FBI letters on the back, what happens when that becomes a symbol of shame? When people start yelling negative things to you in the street, when's that ever happened? What do you do when you're that FBI agent? You show up in the neighborhood and instead of people saying, yeah, he's getting a rapist instead, they say, scumbags, jerks, KGB. In the long term, they're the ones who lost. All right, we'll get to a couple more of these calls and headlines I didn't get to. I have to talk about this Army story. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. I'm going to get to headlines in just a second. Let me get to a couple of these. Jesse, how do you balance shifting the Overton window with maintaining credibility? Listen, thank you. It's from Drew. I'm not worried about credibility. Well, I take that. Hold on. I take that back. That's not fair. I'm not worried about credibility with the things people have traditionally, with the institutions people have traditionally been worried about credibility with. That's the difference. And I'm so, I don't know, jaded at this point in time is probably the right way to put it. I'm so jaded when it comes to our cultural institutions. Honestly, if I was given credibility by them, I'd be upset. If I woke up tomorrow morning and the New York Times had an article about what a great radio host I was and how symmetrical my face was, Chris, but what a great radio host I was, that would cause me to go look in the mirror. I don't seek credibility with them. I care about my credibility with normal people. I care about normal working people. That's what I care about. That's my background. That's where I came from. If you told me, oh, Jesse, some Harvard professor, he thinks you're not credible. Well, good. I think he's despicable. We're enemies. I don't seek out credibility from my enemies. I don't value their opinions at all. Therefore, I don't seek credibility from them. Oh, Jesse, this doctor, He's been doing these transgender surgeries on children. He doesn't think you're credible at all. Okay, well, I hate you. You're abusing children. You're mutilating children. I don't find you to be credible. You understand? All right, before we get to headlines, I should probably take this. Go ahead, Mike in Mississippi. Just have at me.
Two-faced, perfectly symmetrical oracle. That's your whole problem is you run off to New York City with a hoity-toity instead of working like you're supposed to be. I never even heard of an engagement party. I've been to birthday parties, and I've been to bachelor parties. I've been to a wedding reception, but I've never even been to an engagement party.
Okay, I've never been to an engagement party either, but it's what my buddy Buck wanted to do, and so that was the engagement party, okay? I told you I'm done leaving. I had to do two things. It was two things, and now I'm getting murdered. I'm done leaving. I won't be gone again till Thanksgiving, all right? Thanksgiving. Gosh. Jesse, can you please explain your comment about the Vegas shooting? Pause here real quick in case you missed it. By the way, every show is podcasted, iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. What I said was, I have no idea what happened there. I don't want to throw conspiracy theories around. But I don't believe a man without a vast amount of training by himself. I shouldn't say I don't believe. That's not fair to the victims. I find it difficult to believe the narrative that he gunned down 57 people by himself. And so the email says, can you please explain your comment about the shooting? Why couldn't this person have killed that many people when they went unchallenged for so long? Not being disrespectful, just trying to understand, as what I currently understand is that the casino had no idea that this person would do this. Here, allow me to explain. You think killing people with a gun is easy. And don't get me wrong, guns are very, very dangerous and they can kill you. They can. But how many times have you heard about a shooting of some kind? A mall shooting, a shooting on the street, a mall shooting. How many times has the numbers worked out like this? 19 shot over the weekend, 2 dead. I mean, that's Chicago every weekend. It always works out that way. 25 shot in Chicago, 4 fatalities. Why? Because when you're shooting people, your nerves are up. It's nerve-wracking. It's loud. It's chaotic. The bullet you're shooting them with has to hit vital organs for the most part or major arteries to get enough bleed, even if you have the weapons to do so. It is difficult. And plus, you have different things about the hard drive missing, the FBI going after the brother when he speaks out. I don't know what happened. Maybe what happened is the official story. But killing 57 people, even with all the hardware he had up there, killing 57 people is difficult. I'm not some super stud Green Beret, and I would never pretend that. I was a below average Marine. But I've had a lot of training, and I've done a lot of shooting. It would be difficult for me to kill 57 people in that amount of time. I might be able to do it. I have no intention of it, by the way. But it would be difficult to me. You expect me to believe some fat middle-aged guy with no criminal background or anything like that? I don't know about that. All right, before we get to headlines real quick, let's get to this. I've told you before about Biloxi Shrimp Co. I just want to reinforce this again. It's not just that the shrimp is better because it's coming from Mississippi instead of communist countries overseas. 95% of our shrimp comes from overseas. I had no idea about that. It's not just the Biloxi Shrimp Co. It's not just that their shrimp comes from the Mississippi Gulf. It's American shrimp boats. It's American workers. It is a family-run place. And the things they did during COVID, the ways they reached out to people and helped people, and they were selling the freshest shrimp in the Gulf at wholesale prices, at the same prices they were selling to restaurants for. You could pull up to Biloxi Shrimp Co. in Biloxi and get as much as you wanted. Just, man, I love that stuff. Buy American and buy the best quality there is. BiloxiShrimpCo.com. Promo code Jesse gets you 10% off. They ship it to your front door. I have a freezer full of the stuff at this point. We eat it all the time. BiloxiShrimpCo.com, promo code Jesse.
And now,
here's a headline.
By go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
U.S. Army fails recruitment targets by 25%. Enlistment plummets after going woke. Again, the guys who win your wars, fight your wars for you, they don't want to serve in the transgender military, which leads us perfectly to this. First openly transgender army officer indicted for trying to give soldiers medical info to the Russians. Once again, I don't care about what I'm told I have to accept or promote. If you're a man and you believe that you can cut your penis off and become a woman, you are not mentally ready to be in the United States military presiding over other people. You have issues. You need worked out. Go work them out. It's not my job to powder your butt for you and promise you everything's fine. Poland demands $1.3 trillion in reparations from Germany for World War II atrocities. Now, hold on a second. I do understand the list of German atrocities that took place in Poland is fairly extensive. I'm not denying that. That kind of sounds like old run-of-the-mill extortion for me. It's the year 2020, and I like the Poles. I'm a big Polish fan. I like Polish sausages, but I don't think $1.3 trillion, I don't think that's for atrocities. That kind of seems like you're just trying to help the budget a little bit more. Call me a cynic. All right. You can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. That's all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.